Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
When was the last time you just stopped? Not to check your phone, not to answer an email, but to simply stand still and listen. To hear the sound of wind moving through trees or feel the solid ground beneath your feet.
It's a rare feeling, isn't it? We're so wired in, so scheduled. The idea of just being somewhere, especially outdoors, feels almost like a luxury.
It really does. And that's something that's been on my mind a lot. You know, as a writer, I spend so much of my life in my own head, inside four walls. And my best ideas, my moments of real clarity, they almost never happen at the desk. They happen when I finally give up and go for a walk. There's something about that quiet conversation with the world around me that just unlocks things.
Yeah, I know that feeling. For me, it was always just, you know, getting some fresh air, a way to clear my head after a long day. I never really thought of it as something deeper. But lately, I've been wondering, what if that feeling of relief, that sense of calm we get from being in a park or by the water, what if it's more than just a feeling? What if it's actual medicine?
Exactly. What if our deep, ancient intuition that nature is good for us is backed by real hard science? That's the question we're exploring today. We're diving into the world of ecotherapy, this incredible emerging field that treats nature not just as a beautiful backdrop, but as an active partner in our mental and physical healing.
And we're going to get into all of it. We'll look at the science, how something as simple as forest bathing can literally lower your stress hormones and blood pressure. We'll talk about the practical side, how you can bring these practices into your life, even if you live in the middle of a bustling city.
And we have some truly inspiring stories to share. People who have found profound healing, not on a therapist's couch, but on a forest trail. It's a journey into a different kind of wellness, one that's accessible, powerful, and waiting right outside our doors.
So, is it possible that the most advanced healing technology we have is the ancient living world all around us? Let's find out.
It's a profound question, and I think to really answer it, we have to step back from the poetry for a moment and look at the proof. Because it's one thing to feel that nature is healing, but it's another thing entirely to measure it.
Right. Because otherwise, it just stays in that wellness category that can feel a bit vague. But we're talking about tangible, physiological changes. I mean, the whole concept of forest bathing, Shinrin-yoku in Japan, that's not just about a nice walk, is it?
Not at all. That's really the foundation of the modern research. They weren't just asking people, so, do you feel less stressed? They were hooking them up to monitors. They were taking blood samples. And they found concrete, measurable drops in cortisol, the primary stress hormone. They saw lower blood pressure, a slower heart rate, even an increase in the activity of natural killer cells, which are a key part of our immune system.
Wow. So your body is literally fighting off illness better just by being among trees. That's incredible. But then the question is, why? What's the mechanism?
And that is the frontier of the research right now. But it's also where we have to be, you know, intellectually honest. While the evidence is compelling, some of the scientific community has pushed back.
Oh? In what way?
Well, a lot of the early studies, as groundbreaking as they were, relied on very small groups of people. And sometimes, the main metric was just self-reported feelings. I feel better. Which is important, but it's not an objective measurement, like a cortisol level.
I see. So it's harder to prove cause and effect definitively. You can't be sure it wasn't something else that made them feel better that day.
Precisely. There's a need for more rigorous, randomized controlled trials, the gold standard in science. But what I find fascinating is that even with those critiques, the momentum hasn't slowed down. In fact, it's the opposite.
Because the real-world results are just too powerful to ignore.
I think so. It's moved beyond the lab and into public policy. You have entire governments building health strategies around this, It's really a global phenomenon now.
Yeah, I was reading about that. The approaches are so different, too. In Finland, it's treated almost like a vitamin, right? A preventative measure.
Exactly. Their researchers recommend about 5 hours a month in nature to help ward off depression. It's a baseline for public health. But then you look at South Korea, and their approach is much more therapeutic, more targeted. They have structured programs for firefighters dealing with post-traumatic stress.
So, one is for prevention, the other is for treatment. And then in Canada, doctors are literally writing prescriptions for it. I mean, can you imagine a prescription for a national park pass?
It completely does. And the UK has this program, Dose of Nature, that's funded by the National Health Service. The data they've shared is, well, it's stunning. They're reporting a 64% recovery rate for patients, which they say is significantly higher than for traditional talk therapy alone.
64%. That's not a marginal improvement. That's a fundamental shift in what effective treatment can look like. It feels like the system is finally catching up to our intuition.
It really is. And that number, that 64%, it forces you to ask a different question. It's not just that it works, but how? What is actually happening out there on the trail that isn't happening in an office? It's more than just fresh air and a nice view.
Yeah, because it's an active process. The environment itself is part of the therapy. I mean, I'm picturing it. Is it just talk therapy, but with a better backdrop? Or is the interaction with the place itself the point?
That's the core of it. The place is the point. Think about our senses. In an office, you're mostly dealing with sight and sound, and often in a very narrow, focused way. But in a forest, you're smelling the damp earth, you're feeling the texture of bark, you're hearing this incredibly complex soundscape of birdsong and wind.
The rustling of leaves. Yeah.
And research shows that those natural sounds, water, wind, they physically improve our mood. But it gets even more intricate. Scientists talk about the fractal patterns in nature.
Fractals? Like in mathematics? What does that have to do with feeling calm?
It's fascinating. The branching of a tree, the shape of a fern, the veins on a leaf, they're all complex but orderly patterns. And studies have shown that looking at these patterns actually boosts the alpha waves in our brain.
And alpha waves are the good ones.
They're the ones associated with a state of relaxed wakefulness. It's a kind of effortless attention. Your brain isn't being stressed or bored. It's just gently engaged. It's the opposite of staring at a blank wall, but it's also the opposite of trying to decipher a spreadsheet.
So my brain is being soothed just by the geometry of a plant. That is wild. It sounds almost passive, like you just have to show up and let nature do the work.
In some ways, yes. But then there's the active side. Some ecotherapy involves horticultural therapy, actually working with the soil. And get this, there are microorganisms in healthy soil, like Mycobacterium vaccae, that studies suggest can act like an antidepressant. They can boost serotonin when you inhale them or get them on your skin.
You have got to be kidding me. So gardening is, you're literally getting a dose of happiness from the dirt?
It's a plausible mechanism that's being seriously explored. It reframes everything. The act of tending to something, of connecting with the earth, isn't just a metaphor for healing. It could be a literal biochemical process.
Okay, but I have to bring this up. This all sounds wonderful if you can drive out to a national forest. But what about the vast majority of people who live in cities, who are surrounded by concrete? Does this mean this kind of healing is a luxury only for those with access?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's probably the most important one we can ask. Because if this is only for the privileged few, then it's not a solution. It's a luxury. But the research here is incredibly hopeful. It turns out the dose doesn't have to be a week in the wilderness.
Okay, so what are we talking about? A city park? A few potted plants on a balcony?
both. And even less. Some of the most compelling studies are about microdoses of nature. Australian researchers had students do this really dull, attention-draining task on a computer. And halfway through, they gave them a 40-second break.
40 seconds?
What can you even do in 40 seconds?
Exactly. Half the group saw an image of a bare concrete roof. The other half saw an image of that same roof, but covered in a flowering meadow.
No way. Don't tell me that made a difference.
A significant one. The students who saw the green roof made far fewer errors on the task afterward. Their attention was literally restored, just by looking at a picture of nature, for less than a minute. It suggests our brains are so starved for it, they'll take what they can get.
That reframes everything for me. Because I was thinking about access, about distance. But this means the window in your office, the park you walk through on your commute, they aren't just pleasantries. They are functional. They are doing something to your brain.
They are. It's why studies show that residents living just, 400 meters from a city park have demonstrably better mental health outcomes than those 800 meters away. It's not just about recreation. It's about consistent, low-level exposure. It's a matter of public health.
So when we talk about building cities, we're not just talking about concrete and steel. We should be talking about this, about mental health infrastructure. It feels so obvious now that we've laid it all out.
It does. And I think that's the big takeaway for me, looking back on our whole conversation. We started with this almost poetic, intuitive feeling that nature is good for us. And we've journeyed through the science, the cortisol, the alpha waves, the soil microbes, and landed on something incredibly practical and urgent.
Yeah. My final thought is a little different. It's less about the big picture and more about the personal. I think I've always held this belief that to really get nature, I needed to plan a big trip, A whole weekend, the right deer, it was an event.
An obstacle.
Yeah, an obstacle. And what I'm leaving with is the profound realization that the most impactful thing I can do is probably just walk to that little patch of trees at the end of my street for 10 minutes. And not with a goal, not to exercise, but just to be there. The permission to start small is kind of liberating.
The permission to start small. I love that. It's not another thing to add to the to-do list. It's a moment to take away from it. And maybe that's the simplest truth of it all. We don't need to conquer nature or even understand every mechanism of how it heals us. We just need to remember that we're a part of it.
And let it be a part of us. Well, that feels like the perfect place to leave it. Thank you as always for the conversation. And to everyone listening, our challenge to you is a simple one. After this, just for a few minutes, go outside.